morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Sue Hunt, and she is a local coordinator for a program called IRIS. Good morning to you, Sue.
Good morning, LaVon. It's nice to be here.
Thank you. And, you know, when I say IRIS, I'm thinking Backyard and Beyond. People are going to talk. We're going to talk about plants. No, we're going to talk about people. What is the IRIS program?
IRIS is an exchange program. It's called the Iowa Resource for International Service, and it was started in 1993 as a way to get Iowans involved in serving with people from other countries, particularly young people. And we bring kids from 40 different countries and place them all over Iowa, and as well as other parts of the country. But we do try to place 30 kids right here in Iowa. And we do that through something called the YES program, which is the Youth Exchange and Study Program. And that was started in 2001, right after September 11th, as a way to build bridges of understanding between citizens of the United States and about 40 different countries with significant Muslim populations around the world. And so basically that's what we are. We're an exchange program that brings students to our communities.
Now, there are a number of groups, number of other exchange programs. I know Kiwanis had one, Rotary had one. You know, there are different groups that have those. So how is this different?
This one is different in that the YES program seeks to reach students who might not otherwise have the means to take part in an exchange program. Most exchange programs are set up so that the families pay for their student to come here to study. They pay for all their expenses. So that limits the number of kids who can come. This program is different. They win a spot by their academics in their home country, as well as their civic mindedness, their reputations in their communities, how willing they are to adapt to this country. So then their way is paid here. They are given a stipend by the YES program each month. But in return for that, they have to maintain very high grades, and they also have to do community service in their community. They have to figure out the volunteer job they're going to have and then report on that each and every week and month. So that's how it's different.
Okay, yes. And that is a vast difference, I think, in terms of that money base. Mm-hmm. When they come here, they're really earning their way in a lot of different ways, as you've mentioned. So, Sue, what is required if somebody said, well, you know, I'd really like to try having a student in my home? What's required of the family here?
There really aren't a lot of requirements. You do have to go through the criminal records check. You do have to meet those guidelines. You have to provide a bed and a place to study. You have to provide 3 meals a day. And if your family is going out for an activity, then this student would be part of your family, and you would pay for their way if you're going out for dinner or to a movie, that kind of thing. They use their stipend money for clothes that they need to buy or supplies.
Just like every teen,
you know. So, but you basically have them be just like another family member. So,
Sue, you and Nick and your family has hosted more than one student?
We have. We've had 2 from this program, and then 1 student from another program. And through this program, we hosted 2 different Tanzanian students. A boy was here in 2007 and 2008 school year, and then Eshba, our Tanzanian daughter, was here in 2009-2010. And
you're smiling when you say that.
They're my kids. Yes. So yeah, I'm gonna.
So what do you see as benefits? Because every parent of every teenager, I don't care where they're from, there's going to be challenges. So what are the benefits of hosting somebody who maybe has a few special needs just because of language and a few things like that?
Well, it certainly opened our eyes to a part of the world that we really didn't think much about, in this case Tanzania, which is on the eastern coast of Africa. we learned so much about that culture and just by having the kids in our home. And it dispelled a lot of myths that we may have had about Africa. But I think it kept Nick and I young because our kids had graduated from high school when we took our first student. And it just kept us involved in the high school. And we got to go back up to school and had a reason for going back up other than just to go to a game on a Friday night or that kind of thing. And they became our kids. We now have
four kids.
Oh, yes. And it gave us the opportunity to go visit and actually see their homes and meet their families and just opened up the world to us.
Okay. So it really, though, it's not a financial burden on the host family because, again, the students are getting some money. And so you provide the food just like you would your own
student, and they do come with their clothes, but depending on where they're coming from, you do have to find some winter clothes for them. But you know, there's Salvation Army if you don't mind shopping there. The kids love it; they thought that was great. Or depending on your own financial situation, you can do whatever you want. Within the YES program, I guess, we help each other out, too. So, like, I saved the winter coats that I had bought for Eshba, and now the girl who is in Shenandoah used those winter coats all winter this year. So
as a local coordinator, you do stay in touch. I think that may be another unique part of this program, is that you're in constant contact with the students that are visiting here and the families.
That's correct. And I can do this from personal experience. When we had our first foreign exchange student, she was not a part of this program. And we were never contacted by the organization to see how we were doing or if we had any questions. And when I did have questions, it was very difficult to get a hold of them. This program, however, the local coordinator is required to talk to the student twice a month, required to talk to the host family twice a month. As a local coordinator, I take the students on enrichment activities to take away a little bit of the burden on the family or give them some time without the kid around. We take the students to conferences twice a year so that we can remind them of the expectations that we have for them, and then just to find out what problems the kids are having, if any, and help them through it. My students call me, and they might be calling with just some, not so much with their host families, but they just need to vent about typical teen stuff. Oh, this girl's bothering me, you know, or said something that hurt my feelings. And so the local coordinator is just another pair of adult ears to help a student walk through any kind of issues like that.
How long is the student here? When do they arrive?
They're here about 10 months. They come in different groups depending on the country they're coming from. So our first group for 2017 will arrive, I believe it's August 6th, and then all the way up to August 20th, and then they will go home in June. They all go home this year, June 12th, I believe, is the date they head out. So about 10 months.
I think we should mention that, as I understand, one of the goals or one of the things that happened is to learning more about Muslims, and because about 50% of students come are Muslims.
That's correct. It is a way to build a bridge, basically, between the Muslim culture and the Christian culture, or just between the United States and another country. But yeah, we've had students who are Muslims right here in Atlantic, and they got along beautifully. And again, it's just a way for us to learn about them and for them to learn about us and to dispel a lot of those myths and misunderstandings that we all have. But yes, you're right. It's about 50-50, 50% Christian, 50% Muslim. Okay.
And you mentioned like from 40 different countries. Like the parents or the people who are thinking that maybe they would like to get into this program, are there particular countries that will be coming this year?
We do have a whole list, and right now the bios of the kids, we do a shortened bio, so those are up on our webpage, and you can go and look at the bios to see if there's a student that interests you. You can find out what their likes and dislikes are, what they want to do. You'll see the countries that have that are being represented this year, okay, and the ones that have already been placed. So, for example, I've tentatively placed a girl from Lebanon here in Atlantic, and another one from Ghana I placed in Des Moines. So, okay.
So if people want more information or would actually like to, you know, they're thinking about we'd like to apply, where can they get more information? How do they get more information?
You can call me, and I'm happy to take your call, and you have that way you have a local contact. But my number is 712-249-6912. Or you can get a hold of Iris at 866-333-6944. And then our website is www.iris-center.org.
Okay, great ways to get in touch, find more information. We want to thank you very much, Sue Hunt, who is the local coordinator for the YES program. And until next time, here's a thought, short one. Our life evokes our character.